This is my last broadcast from Canton, Ohio. I will be back in Fort Lauderdale later today. I'd like to thank my sister Kelly for her hospitality. I feel good when I'm in Canton's my hometown. I like being with my sister. I like this home, and the homey atmosphere brings back good memories for me when I was a kid, because by the grace of God, I had a wonderful childhood. And I get a little reminiscent, right, as we all do. Well, not all of us. Some of us have very bad memories as children, and I'm very sad for people who suffer that kind of thing, because I was extremely blessed, and so was my sister. Now, I want to talk about wicked and abnormal human beings, because we encounter these wicked and abnormal people. I want to show you what the word wicked and abnormal mean in the Greek. It's very interesting, and it's instructive because it will help us deal with these types of individuals. And in the context, well, the context is going to maybe not surprise you, but it's not what you would immediately think it would be. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul speaking says, "Furthermore, pray, brethren, concerning us, that the word of the Lord may rest and be glorified." I've told you before that Paul looks at this announcing of the evangel as a competition, but he's not directly competing with other heralds. He just wants to see it cover the earth. It's a friendly competition. It's a productive competition, much as John Lennon and Paul McCartney. They competed with each other, but it was a friendly, productive striving to be better. One of them, John would write Strawberry Fields, and Paul would go, "Ooh, wow, that's a great song. I gotta write Penny Lane." So they tried to outdo each other, and to the world's benefit, right? To the world's benefit. And to their own benefit. So we who are heralds, anyone heralding this message, we're in a friendly competition. We are out to raise. This word shall be glorified. We lift up this word of the truth, of the scriptures. Pray that the word of the Lord may raise and be glorified. That is held up, pedestalized, set on high as the most important word that anyone on this planet could hear. According as it is with you also, and that, okay, this is the negative side of this. The positive side is, may the word rest and be glorified among me and among you. Paul says, but this, and that we should be rescued from abnormal and wicked humans, for not for all is the faith. That's a huge statement there in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. Not for all is the faith. This is a terrible fact that God has not chosen all people to receive faith. Instead, he has made some people wicked and some people abnormal, and some people have the double shot. They're wicked and abnormal, and God puts them in our midst, in our circles. Sometimes we have casual contact with wicked and abnormal humans, but these individuals are as foreordained to be what they are, as are the good, faithful people. And it comes back to Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 15, "I am what I am by the grace of God, and you are what you are by the grace of God." And there's nothing else. No worthiness, no achievement, accomplishment on your part. If it weren't for the grace of God, you would be a wicked and abnormal person. This word wicked in the Greek is very interesting. Paneron I'm close there. P-O-N-E-R-O-N. It's a two-part Greek word. And the English elements are misery gush. This is the literal essence, the English equivalent of the two Greek parts, a prefix and a suffix there. It's misery gush. And wicked people, this is really an x-ray into their soul. They are gushing misery. They themselves are miserable. This really softens my heart toward wicked human beings. We've often suspected this, that man, that person must be really miserable. That person must feel terrible. That person, just the fact that they're blah, they're barfing their unhappiness all over you because misery loves company. And this is the word, misery gush, misery gush. Misery inside gushes outside, making them a wicked person. So the wickedness here, Paul, with this word, this wonderful word in the Greek, is not looking at the outward acts of the people. He's actually, God is, through Paul, x-raying into the soul and seeing the essence, which is misery. These people don't have the truth. Their lives are hopeless. You've heard me quote Henry David Thoreau many times. Men everywhere live lives of quiet desperation. But these people that are wicked, the problem they have is that they can't keep it to themselves. They just don't eat themselves up inside. They don't go down into the basement and just wallow in their own misery. No, they gush the misery. Misery gush. Like a geyser. And we get splashed with it. And Paul is praying that we should be rescued from these kinds of people. The fact that the prayer is to be rescued tells us that we're in the midst of, and we come in contact with such people. Abnormal and wicked humans. Abnormal in the Greek, another picturesque two-part word, unplace. Unplace. I started this show telling you how thankful I am to have been placed in a loving family. Again, there's my mom back there. There's my dad. And it was instrumental in making me the wonderful person that I am today. The peaceful, caring, kind. I could go on, but I'll spare you. Because I was placed in that family. Other people were not placed in such good families, but they were still placed. And this is where the grace comes in your heart and mind for these people, for these misery gushing, unplaced people. They're unplaced. They're not settled. I guess place would be not necessarily a GPS, geographical location. It would be settled. The idea of being rooted, grounded, being firm. I'm a domestic person because I love being placed. I love having a home. I love being established. This is true physically and it's true spiritually. I love being anchored, being just riveted to this truth, like a rivet to a steel beam, just solid. And this is reflected in my physical surroundings. I like having a home. I don't like being nomadic. I have wandered before. In a sense, I feel like I've been wandering for 9 years, but within that greater wandering, I have been established in places, and I'm never happier than when I'm settled. Some people aren't settled. They have no peace. They have no peace physically, they have no peace spiritually, because as we're going to see, these people don't have the truth, so they're unplaced. And this really looks toward the reason why they're misery gushing all over you, because they don't have a place. God hasn't given them a place. Excuse me. Because at the last here, Paul says, for not all is the faith. The faith isn't for all. That's a scary thing to have Paul say this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Why is it scary? Because some people are not meant to have the faith. And really, this should cause you to feel pity and to feel sorry for these people, because we know God chooses whom he will. He's the potter. He makes vessels of honor and dishonor. He makes wicked and abnormal people. Abnormal. When we say abnormal, we just think they're weird, right? Just weird person. That's not normal. That's not normal. It's just that, look at the x-ray. Look into the soul here. They're unplaced. They've not been given moorings in this life, probably neither geographically, physically, or spiritually. We know not spiritually. We know they haven't been given that spiritually. Very, very few people have. They're wandering around looking for truth. They're like disembodied spirits scanning the globe to try to understand why they're here, who is God. And we have just had this truth dumped in our laps. Yes, many of us have looked for it. I'm not saying that we don't knock, 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 try to find it, go everywhere looking for it. But others of us have, it's just been dumped in our laps. Even if we have consciously searched for it, it's still dumped in our laps, absolutely speaking, by God. God says, I want you, you, and you to have it. The analogy I always give is all the fishermen on the Sea of Galilee on the day Jesus Christ went to pick his disciples. He says, you, 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 and you. And what about the hundreds of other fishermen there? No, not you. I don't want Ed. I don't want Bill. I want Matthew. Matthew was the tax collector. I want Peter. I want Andrew. I don't want Billy Bob, who's right next to Peter. Billy Bob was right next to Peter on the Sea of Galilee. And he passed over Billy Bob, and he took Peter. It's just unbelievable. And he gave Peter a place. And he gave Peter an expectation. And that modified the misery that could potentially gush from him. Not for all is the faith. We know that faith is a gift. I teach this all the time. People find it hard to believe. They like to think that they produced faith from some inner well of faith. But no, God either gives it to you or he doesn't. But we still exhort people to believe the message. Remember the absolute and the relative talks I gave a few weeks ago. So we want to be rescued from these people. So there must be some sort of relative battle here. Relative possibility that some wicked or abnormal person could bring us into their circle, bring us into their orbit, and drag us down with them, because misery loves company, right? And we found out that these wicked people are actually miserable inside, so you have to feel sorry for them there, but misery does love company, and they will try to drag you into their miserable orbit. Yes, they will pull you to revolve around the same sicko planets that they revolve around, but we must remain outside of their gravitational force, and we must remain in our minds, in our spirits, among the celestials. Yes, I'm not saying that we should be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, but that's not bad, actually. That's not bad, actually. No, I gotta retract it. We don't want to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, but we do want to be so heavenly minded that the things of the earth grow dim as we contemplate our future with God in Christ, far, far away from this wicked and abnormal planet that breeds wicked and abnormal people. Yet faithful is the Lord, who will be establishing you. So Paul's giving the answer to the prayer, pray that the Lord would rescue us from wicked and abnormal human beings. And then the very next thing he says, don't worry, he will. Yeah, faithful is the Lord, who will be establishing you and guarding you from the wicked one. The wicked one, that's Satan. And it's Satan who influences these wicked and abnormal people more than God influences them. Now we have confidence in you and the Lord that what we are charging you are doing also. You see how this works relatively? Paul's charging them to do something. This is not a law. It's not the Sinai coming to the Thessalonians. Paul's a coach. Paul's like a Newt Rockne giving his football players a pep talk in the locker room during halftime, or Vince Lombardi or Bear Bryant, all these great coaches that were fiery. And Paul is a coach. Think of Paul as our coach. And every once in a while, we get out off the field, come into the locker room, and our coach encourages us, pray for yourselves that God will rescue us from abnormal and wicked people. And don't worry, faithful is God, and keep doing what you're doing. Get out there, fight the good fight. Come back here at the end of the third quarter, and we'll have another talk. Thank God we have this. Yes, he will be establishing us. Now we have confidence in you, in the Lord. That what, remember I told you, in the Lord has to do with our service, has to do with this action. The Lord has to do with his control of us in this life as we're walking day to day, as opposed to in Christ, which is the higher viewpoint. Now we have confidence in you and the Lord that what we are charging, you will be doing also. Now may the Lord be directing your hearts in the love of God and into the endurance of Christ. The endurance of Christ. Christ endured. Christ had a rough time on this earth. Talk about a man out of place. Talk about a man in an element that was outside of his comfort zone. All right, but we're tasting this. We're tasting the endurance, and we're coming into the endurance of Christ. Christ was surrounded by pea brains. Christ was surrounded by wicked and abnormal people, and he was the most normal person there, even though he said things that were difficult, right? Eat my body, drink my blood. Before Abraham was, I am. And if you want to be a part of me, give away all your riches and wealth and follow me. So Jesus Christ did. But he's the most normal guy in the room. Any room he went into while he was on earth, he was the most normal guy. And everybody else was abnormal. This is so difficult. Oh, I visited a guy, Morgan Weaver. I got to say this. He lives in Dover, Ohio. Maybe I'll flash a photo of him here. My sister Kelly and I went to visit him. He's a handicapped dude. He was in a terrible accident when he was a teenager. He's in a wheelchair. He has a hard time speaking. He's so sweet, though. What a spirit. And he says he's ultimately thankful for his accident. Morgan Weaver is, because it focused him on Christ. I guess the trajectory he was on before his accident. And he remembers actually praying to God, that God, whatever it takes, I want to focus on you. And so in essence, he actually prayed for his accident. He actually puts it that way. And he was so sweet. He watches my videos. He's got a giant computer screen, like the kind you find in a movie theater. And he watches my show every morning. And he said to me, Martin, through his strained voice, you're my hero. And I was just moved by that, that I know what he meant. And he's my hero. Morgan Weaver, you're my hero, brother. And he said to me that one of his aides, he has 24-hour care, one of his aides in the evening said to him, why are you watching this guy? Because Morgan has my show on morning, noon, and night. The guy says, this guy doesn't have many views on YouTube. You should be watching people who, you know, have millions of views. So this aide equates truth with how many people believe it. He equates truth with numbers. He doesn't know the scriptural precedent, does he, my friends, that the truth is found in the minority and that the majority are always wrong. And so Jesus Christ was surrounded by people. And it's tempting for us to think that we're abnormal. We can't let the enemy gaslight us. Gaslight is a psychology term where the people who are actually crazy, they try to make you think that you're the crazy one. And they use different ploys, different psychological tricks to make you think you're nuts. And it's easy for them to do because they're the nutty people, the abnormal and wicked people are in the majority. And you feel like, am I crazy? This aide probably thought, why are you watching this guy? Obviously, he's not in the mainstream. Martin Zender is not in the mainstream. Martin Zender's on the fringe. And so he's not safe, not a safe person for you to follow, Morgan. You should follow these people with millions of views, these people who pack stadiums. And yet this is the age. This is the time. And really, it's always been this way. That in the time of Christ, it was certainly that way, that the majority are abnormal. The majority are like, you look around you, people are like in a coma. They're weird. They're so plugged into this world and its attractions. And they look at us, and just like the book of Hebrews talks about, there are those people on the earth who walk about as aliens, as expatriates, as those not having a country, as people who are seeking a different place, who are not comfortable here. And the world is not worthy of them. Love that saying in Hebrews. The world is not worthy of them. It's not, the world's not worthy of them. If you look at these ragged, tattered people, you would think that they're not worthy of the world. The world is this great place, and everybody's flying high, and everybody seems to be comfortable here, and everybody's having a great time, and there's us waiting for something better, waiting for a city, waiting for a kingdom that is not here. And it would seem like the world's not worthy of us. No, but it says it would seem like we're not worthy of the world. And many of you feel that way. I'm not worthy. I'm looked down upon by so many circles, by the intellectual people, by the beautiful people, by the accomplished people. Yeah, don't worry about it. You're in the best place because their time is now, you see, because they've put all their eggs in this basket, because for not all is the faith, it says right there, not all is the faith. So all their expectations are here, and like Jesus said, you're getting what you want. You're getting filled now. I'm paraphrasing him. I don't even remember where this was. But it's like, if you pray and pray and pray to do well in this life, you have your reward. That's what Jesus said. You're having it now. But for those who have thrown off the expectations of this world, those who despise the glories of this eon, those who look away toward a better, our satisfaction, our satiation, our being filled is future. So we are very well placed. If you're last, listen to this, I'll close with this. If you're last right now, you're extremely well placed for the future. Why? Because the last are going to be first. Nice switch around. And if you're first in this world, I feel sorry for you, because you have your reward, and the first shall be last. And so we hold tight to our expectation. We are not moved or wavered by wicked and abnormal people who, by their gushing, want to bring us into their misery. We're not moved to join them. But by the grace and the pities of God, I pray that we are moved to understand them. And that even while we are delivered from them, we can at the same time empathize and feel pity and pray for them. Because as we know, in the great Aeonian scheme of God, he sent Christ, his son, to die for them also. Because God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers.